Good morning. I'm speaking with Hector Dominguez Aguirre, Open Data Coordinator for the City of Portland, about the city's plans for developing its surveillance and digital justice policies. Welcome back to KBOO, Hector.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you for having me.
Well, we spoke almost 2 years ago on this show about the Smart City PDX project and how the city was beginning to establish policies to rein in and regulate surveillance technologies and the pipeline for collecting data. We'll link to that discussion on the Old Mole website. So today we'd like an update on the city's community engagement plan that it's rolling out to develop these surveillance and digital justice policies. Could you say more about this planning process coming up?
Absolutely. You know, 2 years ago, we were talking about the potential ban for face recognition at the City of Portland. We passed the two bans in reality, one that bans the use of face recognition technologies in the city as a city government. And the other was we are also banning the use of face recognition in public places framed as places of public accommodations, meaning that all private entities, businesses, private owners, that they want to use face recognition in the right of way, in a mall or in hotel lobbies, places that are usually intended to be for ADA accommodations, for instance, they cannot use that. These bans were motivated because the technology is still intrinsically biased against people with dark skin colors, women and older people mainly. And so much has happened from the public and overall perspective that there are more oversight now, like more interest in general around issues on privacy and information protection. And still, the city does not have a surveillance policy yet. You know, it's face recognition is a very special case, but there are so many other technologies that are tracking us that we use as a government just to understand what's happening in the city as a whole. Some of those technologies are used in law enforcement. Some of those technologies are used just for regular city services. We still don't have a policy. And the intention with this policy is to be able to develop the due process, the transparency, the accountability, the infrastructure needed just to support that. Based on the experience that we have with face recognition and the engagement that we got from that, from other initiatives like the Digital Divide initiative from the CARES Act funds, more and more people started to recognize that without being able to connect to the digital world, right now we are not functional. We don't have opportunities to improve economically, for education, better health. And but what's the compromise of that? What's the impact? And we are hearing a lot of those demands from the community organizations, from general public, from privacy advocates, that we need something in the city just to create basic protections, at least, just to make sure that the technology that we use is responsible, that everything that is behind that technology is also responsible in a way that creates some transparency, that we understand what's behind, and we can report back to those who use the technology or those who are impacted by the technology. So we started developing a public engagement plan based on that idea. So we need feedback, some input from particularly those who are impacted by technology. And so far we have been created a number of public events where we already have received some initial input, and we are going to be putting together some other events for like co-designing or exploring some of these ideas, what the technology should contain, What kind of governance structure, for instance, should be installed or put in place so we make sure that those impacted are part of the decision-making table?
So it does sound like the city's working on two fronts, one to try to address the digital divide, but also in establishing policies about surveillance and privacy issues that really affect all people, but in particular, more marginalized groups, including communities of color and houseless residents, have been impacted by surveillance technologies. So how are those impacted communities being involved in these discussions?
We started from the existing networks. You know, those advocates who are already interested in particularly in surveillance and privacy issues, those who have been participating in the digital divide work, which is actually being led by the Office of Community Technology and our Smart Cities program, where I'm a part of the team. We are actually focusing on surveillance technologies, emerging technologies in general. So we are starting from that, those who are already engaged. And one of the biggest challenges that we have or we want to tackle right now is how we can actually make this outreach to those who have not been part of this discussion, you know, and it's been proven to be challenging, honestly, because of COVID, because of everything that's happening in the world. I think everybody is very like suffering the fatigue of these 2 years of being isolated. So, but we are trying to be creative in that sense. Our program actually is starting a second cohort. The initial cohort, we call it Equity Community Advisors, where we were contacting some community leaders, advocates, who could actually make some recommendations to our program regarding technology, data, and information. And now we are having a second generation or iteration of this idea, and we are calling it a community leads. These community leads are, again, community leaders, a cohort this time of four community leaders, three Black women, actually, that are going to be working with us. We are paying for their time, compensating their time, just to figure out how we can do the proper engagement with those impacted. So this is an ongoing work, and I really invite the audience to start checking out our website, the smartcitypdx.com website, just to find out more about that.
Well, you know, with the recent revelations about Facebook and its abuse of algorithms, the concern about privacy has certainly accelerated. And I'm wondering if the private sector is involved in the city's collection of data for its, you know, various departments.
For this surveillance policy development, the short answer is yes. I mean, the private sector is also non-monolithic. We have different groups around the city. Like, we are currently working in a closer relationship, relatively speaking, with Portland Business Alliance, the Technology Association of Oregon. But we understand that these groups are not representative of all the business landscape in Portland. So we are actually trying to collaborate with other networks, Prosper Portland as well, with some initiatives like Tech Town, so we can start reaching out to other private groups and organizations that actually we could be able to cover more types of businesses. You know, one of a specific group that we are concerned with is medium and small sized businesses. They are the ones at risk of, in general, with this economic stressing times, at risk of running out of their businesses. on top of that, they need to engage in the digital world. They need to do marketing. They need to connect with all their platforms and vendors so they can actually get businesses through those platforms. And we want to connect with them so they are more aware about these privacy risks and impacts that just doing regular businesses create on their own business and in their customers as well.
So would these surveillance policies that the city's developing be recommended to private businesses across the city, or would there be any enforcement of the policies in the private sector?
That's a good question. At this moment, we are, first of all, focusing on just the surveillance that technologies that the city does and owns. However, as the privately owned surveillance is growing, and there are so many different services out there, you can imagine how easy it is to get cheap surveillance cameras just connected to the cloud, streaming video to servers that sometimes the owners don't know where those servers are, you know? It could be somewhere where a third party, in obscure way, they're mining that information or using face recognition behind that. We heard, for instance, cases where like landlord technology being used for like keeping rental housing secure, right? So people are using automatic license plate readers to identify who's coming in and out that their parking lot for these rental units without like being accountable to anyone. Or for instance, I mean, the surveillance on workers, surveillance on right now under COVID around who's potentially showing signs of having COVID, which really opens the door to so many different risks when we don't understand who's behind those services, when businesses are not prepared of how to use that information. It just very quickly could transform into abusing and extracting all that information from the people, you know, who really don't have much to do with sometimes these incidents.
Yes, and Hector, I know that many of our KBOO listeners are wondering who these surveillance policies apply to within the city. We just talked about the problems of small businesses or the private sector employing these technologies and to what extent the city might regulate or inform or educate regarding those. But what about agencies within the city, and specifically the Portland Police Bureau? Will these policies apply to the PPB?
Yes, these policies would apply to all the city agencies, city bureaus and offices in general. And we are actually talking actively with Portland Police because we want them on the table, given the existing conditions that we are all like living through. You know, when there is like a shortage of police officers, a natural way of going on trying to compensate for that is through technology, right? And again, what is that technology? Who's behind the technology? So we want to create the due processes just to understand how we procure the technology and assess who's the vendor and assess what are the transparency measures that we can offer to Portlanders, and people can understand what's behind that, how this technology is being used and how effective those technologies are. For instance, how much are these technologies costing, and then are they really effective, or should we potentially change the use? Do we have the enough capacity to use these technologies in terms of the city staff? Are we getting the right like training for that? So there are so many questions around that.
Yeah, it all sounds pretty frightening. And Hector Dominguez, thank you so much for joining us today on the Old Mole Variety Hour. We always have so much to talk about, and we want to provide links to the city's plan for developing its surveillance and digital justice policies. and ways for people to get involved in that process. So thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. And yes, please visit our website, smartcdpdx.com, for more information.